Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1, listen to Talk with Marie Live. Get ready for some music, books, social events, and special guests. Here's your host, Marie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I have such a great program for you today. I'm going to be interviewing Margaret Butler, who is the executive director and founder of Chimera, which is an amazing girl-serving organization, a global organization. And so today she'll tell us all about her work. Hi, Margaret. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Marie. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you were able to make it. So I was telling all of us how excited I am to have you on because I just learned about Chimera, and it's one of those organizations I'm always wondering, why am I hearing about this now? I should have known since 2007. So, for listeners, some history in terms of how the organization came about. I know you are the founder, and what inspired you to create Chimera?
Sure. I was actually living in Rwanda in 2007 and 8 and working with the Clinton Foundation and another local great organization called Partners in Health. And I was focused predominantly on health education, but being an ex-teacher, I spent some time in local schools really trying to understand what the issues were, and found myself time and time again seeing that young women really didn't have the opportunity to go on to secondary school. And, you know, being a female myself and being raised in North America, I'm actually from Vancouver, Canada, originally, I never had to question whether I was going to go to secondary school, and that just felt unfair to me. And so at the same time, actually, I was doing a lot of running in the early mornings in Rwanda, and found that there were always little boys running with me and never little girls or even adolescent girls, and decided that with the help of the social workers that I was working with there, that we would put together, sort of put two and two together and do a girls-only fun run locally, and then also try and support a few girls to go through secondary school. So it really, we had our first fun run in 2008. We had about 400 girls come out and run, and had to teach the boys how to cheer the girls on. So that was interesting, but ended up being amazing because they were the best cheerleaders. And we started out by sponsoring 10 girls to go to secondary school, and that's really where it all began. I actually had zero intention of starting a nonprofit back then, but sort of snowballed once I moved back to the U.S. and people started really wanting to get involved and support girls' education and the idea that all girls around the world should have the right to go to school.
That's awesome. How did you get involved into doing international work, you know, including Partners in Health?
Yeah, well, my family is fairly international. Both my parents are South African, and so they were also teachers as well. And so we would spend a lot of time in the summer. We would travel back to South Africa to see my family there. So I sort of had a taste of the international lifestyle at a young age, and always knew that I wanted to work internationally. And I was teaching in about 2003 or 4 at a school, and was inspired by these kids who just wanted to learn about the world and wanted to understand different cultures. And for some reason, they just sort of gave me the kick that I needed in order to really get out there, and ended up doing my master's at Teachers College at Columbia University, and just kind of put myself out there when I moved to New York. You know, I started volunteering for the Clinton Foundation, and thankfully they, at the end of my master's, decided to hire me on. So it was sort of being at the right place at the right time, and also a lot of good old-fashioned hard work.
Great networking, being at the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things, because a lot of time I was envisioning sort of you having some challenges, because a lot of time working outside of the U.S., there are so many things that that may be a little different culturally and other issues within that community. Did you face any challenges at all when you started, when you proposed this idea or when the girls started running?
No, you know, it was actually pretty incredible. I mean, I was very fortunate. I lived and worked in this community for several years, and I had a very strong tie with the social workers, and they were sort of the queens of the community, and they were the ones who really got behind it and really encouraged me to organize it with them. So culturally, you know, people, Rwanda is a pretty incredible place. They're very forward thinking. They're very accepting. And we didn't really have any issues with the idea of girls running. I mean, people sort of laughed and pointed and thought it was funny. But we never really had any huge issues. And with girls going to secondary school, it predominantly was an issue, a financial issue. Wasn't really a cultural one. It was, you know, parents sort of saying, look, we don't have the money. It's too expensive to pay for a girl to go to school. And if we do have the money, you know, we're going to send our boy because, you know, hopefully he's going to be the one who's going to be more likely to get a job and be able to reinvest in the family. We would love to send our girl to school. And so, or over the years, we've never had a single family say, no, absolutely not. You're going to, you know, our girl isn't going to enter into your program. It's always been with huge excitement that there is this type of opportunity.
Wow, I think that's great because there are so many other organizations out there where sometimes, again, it's such a change to sort of see girls at the center of attention, especially something really positive that I was anticipating. Education is one of those things that I think in every culture is valued, but I think now, I'm not sure if it's because of Malala, what's going on in other parts of the world where I feel like girls' education is back at the center, where people are talking about it. I don't know if it's sort of accepted by everyone. I mean, do you see now sort of like a change between when the organization started and now in terms of girls' education, whether it's in Africa and other parts of the region?
Yeah, you know, Rwanda is pretty unique in the sense that like 64% of their parliament is female. So they're very focused on uplifting women. You know, women basically rebuilt the country after the genocide in 1994. So a lot of the country has sort of been on their shoulders for many years. So the discussion around girls' education has, you know, it's grown specifically in Rwanda. Previously, it was going to school was not free up to grade 9. Now it's free up to grade 9. I should say that with sort of loose quotation marks. There's always sort of hidden costs around attending school. But Rwanda is pushing really hard in terms of putting infrastructure in place in public schools and helping girls and boys go to school, quite frankly. Globally, you know, there is a huge movement around girls' education right now, and I think it's wonderful. You know, the First Lady has really taken it and been a champion of the cause, focusing on the 62 million girls that are out of school and really, really trying to sort of push the agenda issue forward. And of course, advocates like Malala have been incredible as well to sort of bring it to the forefront. So I think, you know, there's a lot of work happening around it right now. It's far from being done. but it's great to have this sort of energy and enthusiasm around it right now.
Yeah, I think it's really wonderful. I'm hoping it's going to continue because I don't want it to be a trend. I think in the Boston area, I feel like girls' issues and girls' organizations were really sort of more prominent, where I feel like it sort of died down, and then maybe things are coming back up again, which is great. So before we go any further, I meant to ask you, what does Chimera mean?
Yeah, so Chimera actually has a funny story about it. When I was running in Rwanda, people would sort of yell it out to me, and like, Chimera, Chimera. And I was slow to pick up the local dialect, and I thought they were sort of saying, oh, crazy white lady, you know, you're terrifying our children. They think you're a ghost. But in actual fact, in the local dialect, Kumara means be strong and courageous. So it's a word of encouragement. So they were, you know, people were yelling words of encouragement to me. And I feel like that word really captured the essence of what we were trying to do with young women in Rwanda, is really sort of encourage them and provide them with opportunity.
Yeah, as I was doing some research, I kind of like the idea of, it seemed like they're, in some ways girls are part of the process in terms of really asking them sort of whether the issue they care about or things that they want to work on. Can you talk a little bit about some of the programs that are offered and ways that the girls are actively participating as change agents?
Absolutely. You know, this is a really important piece of our work to us, is that our programs are developed based off of what the girls and students and community really feel is important in order to drive the work forward and have an impact. So we really focus on the students and helping them sort of give us transparent and honest feedback as often as possible. So, you know, when we first started out, we were actually providing students with scholarships to day school. And one of the students came up to us and said, look, you know what, you're wasting your time and your money doing that, quite frankly, because I have to work in the morning before school. I have to take care of the other kids after school. I'm not getting my homework done. I'm in a fail. You know, the answer to this is really sending us all to boarding school. And so we actually transitioned our program pretty significantly based on the feedback of a lot of the girls around attending boarding school in Rwanda. So all of our students go to boarding schools. It's public boarding schools. Kumara doesn't have its own school. I really believe in supporting the public system in Rwanda. And fortunately, Rwanda is a country where they do have you know, great schools or improving schools, and they're really investing in those schools, and I want to support that. So we provide them with full scholarship, you know, that's tuition and lodging and everything they could possibly need to go to school, from bedding to uniforms to sanitary napkins, shampoo and lotions and shoes and blankets and towels, whatever it is. We also do pretty extensive leadership summits during their school breaks. So they come back to the community and they stay overnight with us for anywhere from 4 to 7 nights. And we focus on career development. We focus on sexual reproductive health, gender-based violence, and also how they can be leaders within their own community. So they spend a lot of time thinking about issues that they too want to address. And we coach them in how they can address those issues. So we'll give them, you know, they'll pick an issue that they care about, and we'll give them training on how to develop a plan around taking action on that issue. And we'll give them a small grant to be able to go out and do training with the community, or, you know, helping a family buy a pig in order to, you know, lift the family you know, above their sort of what they're dealing with at that point in time. And, you know, it's been fun to see the girls really give back within the community as well during those summits. You know, when the students are at school, they receive mentorship. We train teachers who are at the schools. We help them become mentors for the girls. So they meet with them once a week, and they are really their lifeline at school. You know, it's very easy to get a girl, well, somewhat easy to get a girl into school, but ensuring that she stays there and she succeeds is really the complicated part. There's so many pieces that go into that, so many issues that need to be addressed, and that's really what we're investing in. And the mentors are a really important part of that support. They're a big part of our family, so they ensure that these young women stay in school. They give them social emotional support on a weekly basis, and they sort of train them on, again, also leadership skills and talking about their rights and how they can stand up for themselves. And then we also work with the parents of the guardians of the girls. We really want to focus on community-based stakeholders. So they have they sort of self-gathered and are building a variety of different businesses. They actually have two businesses going on right now in mushroom growing and goat husbandry. And so we provide them with training and small grants to start, and they have actually become quite successful mushroom growers. And they also buy materials for the students when they go back to school. So this past year, they bought hundreds of pens for the students and also handkerchiefs, too, because it's really important for them to be actively involved in supporting their child's enrollment in school. And then we continue to have the Girls Only Fun Run on an annual basis as well, which has sort of been our annual party within the community, and that's been really fun to sort of carry that forward as well. So
wow.
It's a fairly extensive program. And actually next week we're taking, or in 2 weeks, we're taking six of our student council members to Nairobi for a summit with seven other organizations in Eastern Africa to bring young women together to talk about gender-based violence and gender issues that they face within their communities and how they can address those issues. So I think it's going to be a pretty incredible time having girls from Tanzania, Kenya, Rwanda really sort of talking about the issues that they face in their communities and coming up with solutions and then taking those solutions and seeing what they can do upon their return home. So that's going to be a pretty fun trip as well.
It's amazing. I kind of want to be
great.
Yeah. There. And I mean, as you're talking, I'm also thinking about ways, for example, you know, there are other parts of the world that, you know, what can they learn from your organization? Because a lot of time I feel like whether it's domestically and internationally, a lot of time we work too much in a bubble where we're not aware of what another group might be doing. So I feel like constantly the work is being sort of either not replicated, but it's sort of there's so many similar programs out there and no one is really sort of talking to each other or how can we learn from each other. So in that, you know, in that mindset, I wanted to ask you sort of what have you heard from the girls who either are currently in the program or have graduated, sort of like the kind of feedback you've been hearing in terms of the impact of being part of commitment.
Yeah. It's a really important piece. I'm extremely passionate about organizations working together and sharing best practices. I actually have a program right now that I'm working on to bring together a collaborative of girls' education organizations to really focus on the issue and share best practices and share, you know, funding opportunities and possibly come together for funding opportunities as well, you know, because we're a pretty small organization and I'm happy to stay that way. You know, I don't have any vision of scale, but we miss a lot of funding opportunities in that sense. And so, you know, we're working hard to sort of bring a collaborative together over the next couple of months. But you know, one of the things that I think is really important, and I actually forgot to mention this program because it just started this year, that we had feedback on was girls sort of finishing school and then not really knowing what was next. You know, they're finishing school. There's no career counseling. There's no computer that they can jump on to really figure out, you know, how to apply to university or look for jobs or additional training. And so a lot of the girls were returning back to their community and not knowing what to do. And we sort of filled the gap. We would help them on one-off pieces and, you know, would sort of steer them in the right direction. And so, you know, based on that feedback, we decided that we would launch a post-secondary transition program that we just started this year. And we helped them with English language skills, computer skills, helping them apply to university and to jobs, and really giving them the confidence to go out and apply for jobs. And also we do a business incubation program too, where we help them start small to medium enterprises focused on helping them really develop their own employment. You know, I think youth unemployment globally is a huge issue. In Rwanda, there's about 60% of youth are unemployed. And, you know, the way forward ultimately is going to be sort of small businesses. So that was one of the pieces that we really took and moved forward with. And I think that globally that's going to be a big issue too, is, you know, once secondary school is done, then what? You know, a lot of these young women can't afford to go to university. They can't afford to sort of take that financial risk. And so a lot of them are questioning, you know, what's next? And that's a very real issue in the U.S. too, that yeah. I think a lot of people are dealing with nowadays as well. And it, ultimately it is a global issue as well. So, you know, within the secondary program, too, we have a 95% graduation rate, whereas in Rwanda, it's under 5% right now for young women. So we're doing a good job, but we also know that there's always room for improvement and always room for feedback. You know, we're in the business of dealing with human beings, and everyone's story and issue is different. And there's no cookie-cutter model that can really, you know, solve the world's problems. We really have to focus on supporting each and every individual in the way that they need to be supported.
That is great. Oh my God, I keep getting so, doing so much, which is really amazing.
There's a lot going on.
I want other people to also get involved and support Chimera. And so tomorrow, I know you have a great event coming up that people can participate in. So tell us a little bit about that, and if there's still time to come up.
Yeah, so tomorrow we have a spin class at Psych Fitness, which is going to be at 12 at noon. So if you want to burn off some of that Halloween candy, you can come and join us at the studio. It is One Plaza, in right by Back Bay. If you look up their address, oh yeah, 50 Park Plaza, Boston, Massachusetts. So we are riding tomorrow to support the purchase of solar lamps for our students. A lot of them come home during the school holidays and they have to work during the day with their family on the farm and sort of generating income, and they don't have time to study. And so a lot of them have said, and this is again sort of a piece of the feedback that we take and try and move forward with, is that they need light at night. They don't have electricity. And so we are trying to raise funds to purchase solar lamps for them. So we are hosting this event tomorrow. We still have seats available. It's $25, which is actually cheaper than actually going to a class there. So we're giving you a discount even. And we would love to have folks join us. It's just a 45-minute, fun, music-inspired class. And you can sign up online, actually, on our website at chimera.org, there's a link there that you can grab the information off of.
Yeah, that's great. The website is great. And I know you're also on Twitter. So where else can people find you?
We are also on Instagram and Facebook are our two other pieces of social media.
Great. So I know the event is happening tomorrow. Can you tell us two or three other ways that people can support Chimera right now?
Absolutely. We have our year-end campaign as well, which is our materials for our students to go back to school that I was talking about before. We are raising funds for that as well. 100% of anyone's donation will go towards packing a girl's bag to go back to school. You know, $250 covers an entire year of a girl's materials needed at school. So that is, it always blows me away a little bit, that number, because it's so small in comparison to what we need on an annual basis. But we would love any support in that department. And then each year we always have our Chimera Global Run, which will be next June in Boston. We ask people to come out and run and participate to support Chimera as well. So we're always happy to have people share our message on social media too, follow us, share our messages, like our pictures. Just every little bit helps for us.
That's great. So I'm hoping today's program can help just a little bit in getting the word out there. I want to thank you for being on the program, and also Lauren LeBlanc, who is one of your staff members, who's really been awesome in responding, being
great.
On the show. So
she
have
is
fun
wonderful.
And
thank
hope you.
You
reach your goal. I don't know what the goal is. So tons of people come out, and they can burn some calories while supporting your amazing work globally.
Great. Well, thank you so much. We hopefully we'll see you there, too.
I'm hoping. I love cycling. I'll probably cycle more than running. Running is a little different for me. But
well, I'll send you the information.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So I want to thank everyone for listening in. You can follow Kamara on Twitter and also go to their website, which is www.kamara.org, and learn about all the great work that they're doing. So thank you again, and I'll see you next time.